A very good afternoon to you and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I will be keeping you company up until 14:30. And of course, now it's 3 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. It's Monday, the 25th of August, 2025, the start of a brand new week when fresh stories emerge and national conversations begin to take shape. Now, whether you're navigating the streets of Windhoek, managing operations in Oshikoto, or tuning in from a classroom or home office anyway across Namibia, thank you for joining us. Now, on this program, we go beyond the headlines. We explore why events unfold the way they do, who benefits, and what it means for everyday Namibians, from the economic and governance to youth empowerment, innovation, and community initiatives. We bring you stories that matter and hold decision makers to account. As always, your voice is central. You can interact with us via Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, and Eagle FM website and app. Now, whether you're listening from a farm in Omusati, a busy office in Ketmanshoop, or your car from your car in Swakopmund, we appreciate you for spending your Monday afternoon with us. This is On The Radar News Analysis, Namibia's news unpacked, analyzed, and grounded in the realities of its people. Let's get into the top stories making headlines today. Namibia has officially confirmed its participation in the Intra-African Trade Fair 2025, also known as IATF 2025, scheduled to take place from the 4th to the 10th of September 2025 in Algeria. In Algeria. Now, the announcement was made by Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, Natangwe Ithete, during the opening ceremony of the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair on Sunday, the 24th of August. In his address, Ithete urged Namibian businesses, entrepreneurs and innovators to seize the opportunities presented by the African Continental Free Trade Area, which connects over 1 billion consumers across the continent. "I'm using this opportunity to call upon our traders and innovators to use Namibia's position as the gateway to Africa and connect with the continental market," he said. "There is power in marketing your products at trade fairs because it gives you access to wide market, such as the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, breaks down barriers, opens borders, and creates one of the largest markets in the world." Now, the Intra-African Trade Fair is Africa's premier platform for advancing trade and investment under the African Continental Free Trade Area, also known as AFCFTA, organized by Afrexbank, the African Union Commission, AUC, and the AFCFTA Secretariat, and hosted by the People's Democratic Republic of Algeria. The biennial event provides a single marketplace for buyers, sellers, investors, and policymakers. Now, the Intra-Africa Continental 2025 is expected to draw more than 2,000 exhibitors from across the continent, attract over 35,000 delegates, trade investors, and media representatives, and generate up to $44 billion in the trade and investment deals. It is also a hub for high-level policy dialogues, trade finance opportunities, and matchmaking sessions between the African businesses. For Namibia, the fair presents an opportunity to showcase products such as leather goods, beef and beef products, and conservancy crafts, while also positioning the country as a gateway to Southern Africa. Ithete stressed the importance of adding value to raw materials and using such continental platforms to promote exports and attract investment. Now, Namibia's participation will deliver market access and exposure, tapping into Africa's integrated single market, strategic promotion by spotlighting Namibian product with potential for export growth, as well as government support through infrastructure development, electrification and funding streams such as the National Youth Development Fund. Now, the minister's announcement was made during the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair, which itself reflects the power of trade platforms established in 2000 at the former Ongwediva College of Education, the Ongwediva Trade Fair has grown into one of Namibia's premier business events. Now this year, it features 450 exhibitors, including 26 international participants from countries such as Tanzania, Kenya, Ghana, Indonesia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and South Africa. And with that being said, let's now pause right here and take a listen to Salomo Haidula, who is the Deputy Director and Consumer Protection and International Market Regulation in the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. Good afternoon, Mr. Salomo Haidula, and welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Mr. Salomo, the Deputy Prime Minister, and the Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy, that is Dr. Natangwe Ithete, announced during the opening ceremony of the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair on Sunday that Namibia has officially confirmed its participation in the Intra-African Trade Fair set for 2025. Now, just how important is this for Namibia to participate, or Namibian businesses and entrepreneurs to participate in the Intra-Africa Trade Fair?
Yes, thank you. I think it's very important in the sense that we are all aware that we do not have a large population. So initiatives such as Intra-Africa Trade assist us so that our business people are able to get their product to a wider market in Africa. And in essence, that's the purpose of the ASCFTA. Mm-hmm. That Namibia is also signed. We are party to that agreement. So long and short is just that assist us to for our business people to have access to wider market in Africa, as perhaps our population might be too small to take up some of the products that we produce.
Yeah. Now, the Deputy Prime Minister also urged the Namibian people or Namibian businesses, entrepreneurs and innovators to seize the opportunity and be presented by the African Continental Free Trade, which connects over 1 billion consumers across the continent. But I guess the questions on many business people's mind that would want to partake in this, perhaps would be asking themselves, where do I go? On which doors do I actually knock to make sure that I also get to participate?
No, the doors that they should knock on is the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, as well as the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, but primarily it should be Ministry of International Relations and Trade. They knock on those doors, I'm sure they will receive all the relevant information that they require for them to partake in the initiative.
Now, furthermore, since he was speaking at the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair at the opening ceremony, just how important are trade fairs in terms of contribution to Namibia's economy? I mean, for that small business person who can actually exhibit their products at the trade fair, just how does it contribute economically?
Thank you. It's very important in the sense that the trade fairs provide a platform for exhibitors to showcase their products. And, in essence, it's not just to show, but also for one to sell what you are producing. And our trade fairs, we also get exhibitors from neighboring countries, so they also provide a platform for business people to network and perhaps also then to ensure that you get your products across Namibian borders. So that's why trade fairs are very important, and over the years our trade fairs have been growing. But trade fairs in essence they provide a platform for, as you have rightfully put it, especially SMEs for them to showcase their products, for business people to network, not only amongst the local business personalities, but also amongst the African business personalities. And that again speaks to the first question you asked about intra-Africa trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. Now, so you're also still talking about this matter. How about trade fairs, perhaps, probably trade fairs in other countries? For instance, we have international participants, 26 international participants from countries such as Tanzania, Kenya, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and South Africa. But do we also then make a platform or a push for Namibian people to also partake in other trade fairs that happen across African countries? And perhaps how do we then go about that?
Yes, so the same way that we encourage participants from Africa to partake in our trade fairs, it's also the same way that as a government, we wish for our participants also to partake in other trade fairs beyond borders of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to become a reality, then I will urge our business personalities to engage our Ministry of National Relations and Trade, as they are the custodians of the calendars of trade fairs, and they will also then be able to link them regional, trade fairs.
Now, what can Namibia expect, or the Namibian people expect at Namibia itself showcasing at the intra-African trade fair? What is it that Namibia is planning to perhaps go and showcase at that trade fair?
In terms of showcasing, really what we aspire to see is showcasing of Namibian products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really what we want to see is showcasing of Namibian products. As you might be aware, we have a policy of high local, grow local. So ideally what we aspire to see is for Namibian products showcased and to reach a market that is beyond the borders of Namibia.
Yeah. Finally, Mr. Salomo Haidula, what is it that you are expecting, of course, as we continue to grow in terms of Namibia's trade fairs, what is it that you would want to see in terms of growth from the exhibitors themselves, from the organizers themselves, and just something that you, that is, it's been, as you have observed trade fairs along the years, what is that particular thing that you would want perhaps to see continuing, and that particular new thing that you would want it to be introduced?
For me, what I would like to see is just our trade fairs to continue growing, as well as for us to get more international participants.
Mm.
We're able to get international participants. We are also able to showcase our products as Namibians the world large. Lastly, also important that we are able to create networks that are beyond the Namibian borders.
Yeah.
Our people are able to sell our products not only in Namibia, but also beyond the Namibian borders, and thereby leveraging on the AFCFTA agreement that we signed as a country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Salamu Aidola, for making time for us right here on the Radar News Analysis. Okay.
Let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. But we'll be back before you know it. You can also partake in the news bulletin by dialing on 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
With global trade tensions reshaping markets and exposing vulnerabilities, Namibia's participation in the Intra-African Trade Fair, known as IATF 2025, underscores the country's commitment to regional integration and economic collaboration. Now, the government hopes that by engaging in continental platforms such as this, Namibia can expand exports, strengthen partnerships, and secure its place as a competitive player in Africa's new era of trade and economic growth. Now, we've reached out to Dina Kwagasis, Namibia's Competition Commission Corporate Communications Practitioner, on what it actually means for Namibia to participate in the Intra-African Trade Fair.
And now we're going to engage Ms. Dina Kwagasis. Good afternoon, ma'am, and welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Good afternoon, Hebe. It's always a pleasure being with you and your listeners.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the annual Ongwediva Trade Fair, the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair has officially opened on Sunday. And of course, speaking at the event is our Deputy Prime Minister Netanwa Itete, who spoke about that Namibia is officially confirmed to participate in the Intra-African Trade Fair for 2025. Just what does this news resonate with the Namibian people, especially with the business people, entrepreneurs and innovators?
You know, this is actually a good opportunity for African countries, including Namibia, to open up borders between African countries and create as well as enhance trade through a larger market. You know that Africa is a population that is way larger than, I think, other countries. Yet we have so many mineral resources. We have so many services that we can offer. Inter-Africa Trade Fair for this year is one of those mechanisms that are going to enable our local producers, our local service providers, our manufacturers, that opportunity to showcase their products, to showcase their services, and in so doing also create and enhance their products on that platform, because as we are currently here at the Ongwediva Annual Trade Fair, mm-hmm. we also have representatives of Limpopo Province from South Africa.
Mm.
And they are also using this opportunity to network with Namibian businesses so that they can also trade amongst each other. And what the Right Honorable Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Mines, Industries, Mines and Energy emphasizes was that trade fairs provide that platform for businesses and equally government entities to showcase their products, their services to various stakeholders. You know, when we have trade fairs, we don't only have Namibians coming to our trade fairs. We have many borders that the Namibian border is connected to. And when trade fairs happen, we have so many of our African country businesses coming in to also see what we have to offer and what they also can sell. If I take, for example, one of those entities, I also brought myself one product is the marula seed.
Mm.
Marula seed is an inherent Namibian tree, a seed that comes from a Namibian tree. And I spoke to the exhibitor that was tasked with showcasing that product and also the purpose of how it enhances your body moisture, your hair, your face, and all those things. And she basically told me a process of how they manufacture that product here, and that there were interest from businesses that were coming from USA, of which we were not aware also, in Chinese, that were trying to find out how is this product made, mm-hmm. what do they do with this seed. And what the lady, the exhibitor, explained was that not only do they make body oil with that product, but they also make milk with that product. Everything in that seed is being utilized. And I had to also be supportive of that initiative, and I encourage marketing of such products. Now, the Intra-Africa Trade Fair is one of those opportunities where we will showcase products such as the marula oil that comes from that marula seed. So it is basically an opportunity where our business people, doesn't matter on what level they operate, need to be part of this process so that even our small and medium enterprises can grow in this regard. You never know who is coming to network. Mm-hmm. And when borders are opened, it gives that opportunity to our local businesses also to engage on that platform. Now, you see the way that the world economy is going and the things that are happening on the international stage. It is a bit of a shaky ground that we are moving on. And therefore, the call that our leadership of Namibia has on the local businesses that we intra-trade in Africa is a very important call that our current president also is strengthening in that regard, through entities such as the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy,
yeah.
To tell our local businesses to engage in these networking opportunities, because you know what is happening in the international stage. It's a bit tricky. Our president is calling for reciprocity with regard to trade and how we handle our border entrances. So that in itself speaks for itself when we are speaking of intra-Africa trade.
Mm. Now, of course, with every good thing also sometimes comes the bad side. Now,
yes.
How do we protect our business people and the product that they showcase sometimes, which is very rooted in, made by Namibians, for the Namibians. But then again, also, we do have some people who would then want to steal that product and make it their own. How do we actually safeguard in that area, but at the same time also trying to promote those products made by our business people? Peradventure, they meet the people who can also help to nest that product further.
Yes, Happy. The thing is that currently, when intra-Africa trade happens, there should always be mechanisms, legal frameworks, upon which we ensure legality of our trade focus areas. And we also have within the government agencies that are tasked with ensuring that the products that we produce are certified, they are copyrighted, they are protected.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, BIPA handles the copyright issue and the registration of our businesses. We have issues with regard to, we were doing public consultations recently in the Erongo region as well as the O regions of our northern part, with the communities and the business entities, mostly focusing on small and medium enterprises. And concerns were raised with regard to neighboring countries as well as Indian and Chinese-owned companies coming in, but these are not formal companies. These are informal traders that would come in through our borders And trade-wise, there are entities that are registered within Namibia and given a spot where they can sell. And the concern was that when these informal traders come in and they sell their product at a cheaper rate, it disadvantages our local SMEs. So we were looking into those aspects, and we definitely had our line ministry, which is the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, representatives present as well, mm-hmm. that would take up that issue so that government looks at reforms as to what can be done in that regard. But when we speak even of intra-Africa trade platforms like this, the governments of Africa should have regulatory frameworks that strengthen and protect our own local businesses, no matter where they come from, to ensure that no one comes and steals their idea and then makes it their own.
Yeah.
And that in doing so, these businesses also thrive in the meantime, because that product belongs to them. There is the issue of standardization. We have the Namibia Standards Institution, which is tasked with ensuring that they provide a barcode, like we used to have with SAB, mm-hmm. that was the barcode that we're using, but now it has been Namibianized. Our leadership is speaking about local content and emphasizing, and therefore the Namibia Standard Institute has also been tasked with that issue of ensuring that we have a barcode, that the products that we produce locally are quality products that are good and advantageous for human consumption as well as the environment that they operate in. So there are mechanisms. These trade fairs actually provide a platform where various entities of government can also speak on their mandate and what they do.
Yeah.
The same that we are doing as the Namibian Competition Commission to ensure that there is compliance with the competition regulation. So it is why we are grouped together under industries, so that when people come to our exhibition stand, they will be able to speak with regard to what relates to the ministry itself and what relates to the agencies that are under the ministry. So there are safeguards. We just need to advocate more to ensure that our people are aware that they are protected. So no one can come and take their product and make it their own. They are protected. There are legal regulations in place to ensure that when you come with your business plan, it is your business plan. And even the partnerships that we have, sometimes our small businesses would go into joint ventures, but then we do experience those cases when after the joint venture, the main shareholder who provided most of the funding would now try and oust the local businesses that were part of that venture. There are avenues where our people can go now to say that this is what is happening. Can you look into that?
Yeah.
So I think our African governments are really trying to strengthen so that, you know, we have Vision 2030.
Mm-hmm.
We recently launched the National Development Plan 6, and these are one of those aspects that we just need to simplify for our people to really understand where Namibia is headed to as a country.
I agree.
And where in the African scope we fit in. So it is just a matter of explaining what mechanisms are there to ensure that our businesses thrive, whether they are small. You know, there's a saying that goes, and it is a true saying that says that small and medium enterprises, equally micro enterprises, form the backbone of our economy. Because any business that started small, whether it was in a garage, whether it was in a room, they all started somewhere. Jeff Bezos started somewhere in a garage, that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And today, Apple is one of those formidable IT companies that are now providing us access to network from wherever we are seated. So we also want to accord that same opportunity through the government entities mm-hmm. to our people mm-hmm. to ensure that we have a thriving economy, and not only an economy that imports, but an economy that exports.
Okay. Now, Ms. Kwaga says the intra-African trade fair is expected to draw more than 2,000 exhibitors from across the continent. And other than that, also is set to generate up towards $44 billion US dollars in trade and investment deals. Now, for an entrepreneur right here in Namibia or an innovator right here in Namibia who would also want to partake or actually even would want to witness it so that perhaps in 2 years to come, they can also then exhibit their stuff. Where do they knock? On which doors do they actually knock that makes it maybe easier for them to be able to partake?
Actually, the right door to knock would be the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. Mm. You know that the ministry also has programs within itself that it has been running for quite some time now, where it also provides funding for our small and medium enterprises who would want to exhibit on that large scale of a platform and to ensure that these SMEs come to these platforms to exhibit their products. And that is what the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy does. So all our people need to do is come knock at the doors of the ministry and see where they can be allocated to who is the responsible person that will deal with them. The ministry also has a division that is giving out equipment. If you are a producer of something, and you need the equipment and you are not able to afford that equipment, the ministry is tasked with giving out that type of equipment that you need to, whether it's leather shoes that you want to make or bags or anything in that nature, that the ministry is going to supply you with the necessary equipment to do that. And after you have done that, we have then the GIS. GIS is the entity that is ensuring your market trading access to other African and international platforms, market platforms. So those are the agencies that we have. And for the trade fair, for the intra-Africa trade fair, our people should just go and knock on the doors of the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. You know that the mines, industry, mines ministry is located somewhere, but then there is another office where trade and industry, as the name was before, is located. That is still part of the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. That one, I think, is more centralized, the offices where people can easily have access, and that is even closer to our offices where we are located currently in the Marian Kuapi Street. So our people just need to knock there. They will be directed. The ministry is ready to assist in that regard. So they just need to knock. As we are also here at the Onkudiva Annual Trade Fair, people should just come to the stand of the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy to inquire what are the processes involved and to whom they should be speaking with regard to their participation.
Okay. Ms. Tina Kwaga says, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis.
Happy, I'm so glad that you are according us this opportunity to speak, you know, so that we also ensure that our people hear what is in store for them with regard to their social and economic development stages. So we are glad that you accord us this opportunity and always call on us to speak with regard to issues that are of concern to the public at large. We stand ready to speak and provide you with relevant information that will be assisting your advocacy efforts.
Okay.
With regard to the growth of our economy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abby.
Okay.
With that being said, we pause right here and invite you to also partake in the news analysis right here on 083-288-401. And let's also take a trip to the marketplace as we await your call.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The Anti-Corruption Commission of Namibia, ACC, in partnership with the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry on Friday, hosted a seminar on ethical business practices, calling on the private sector to take a stronger stand against corruption. Now, the varying remarks on behalf of ACC Director General Paulus Noah, Executive Director Tilvars Shilongo, describes corruption as one of the greatest threats to Namibia's development, draining resources and eroding public trust. He stressed that ethical conduct must extend beyond legal compliance, highlighting fairness, transparency, accountability and respect in business operations. Real change is not a single act, it's a process. Businesses must embed integrity into governance, structures and company culture, Shilongo said. NCCI Rundu Brain Chairperson Gerard Iranus emphasized the need for regular collaboration between regulators, municipalities and the private sector to ensure that the policies reflect a real-time industry prospect. He pointed to the role of NCCI's research desk in providing oversight bodies with evidence-based insights to strengthen interventions. Let's take a listen.
That corruption is a serious problem that interrupts development and causes social and economic deprivation. It stifles innovation, erodes trust, and takes away resources that could help our communities and make the most of public services and goods inaccessible by the large majority of our citizens. However, we have the ability to bring about change if we establish new standards of ethics and integrity in the conduct of our business. Today, we are here not just to talk about corruption and how to shape our ethical behaviors in businesses, but also to promote significant changes possible in our business mindset and culture, and in the way we do things. It means we must inculcate a culture of ethical behaviors and conducts in our business throughout Namibia, the Namibian landscape. Our goal is to promote and create a situation conducive where ethical behavior is not just about compliance, adhering to moral principles and values of honesty, integrity, fairness, respect, and accountability in all business operations and interactions, but also to create a fundamental value that guides our operations and business decisions beyond legal compliance. And to a large extent, It also requires us to encompass treating our employees fairly, providing transparency to customers, fostering a respectful workplace and the workforce, treating each other with respect, and taking the responsibility for societal environmental impact. Directors of ceremony, Honorable Governor, on transparency and accountability and shared responsibility as a core of our discussion about ethical behaviors and business conduct, which is a critical enabler to implementing a strong ethical framework that business build, that help business build trust, improve a company's reputations, and contribute to their long-term success. From the anti-corruption perspective, our work and commitment with the Namibian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, along with other partners I see here today, came a long way and is indicative of our strong dedication and collaboration in the realizations of strategic objective number 5 of NAPSA. The aim of this seminar is to sensitize businesses together with the Cluster 4 working group. We want to build strong ethics and integrity system for businesses, set up compliance processes, and redefine corporate ethics through effective training and awareness. We are all gathered here, ladies and gentlemen, therefore, to create an environment and moments where ethical practice should be made to thrive. We help our businesses to succeed while acting ethically and responsibly. The people in this room, I mean all of us, reflect the diverse part of our society. Business leaders and captains of industry alike, civil society, and the inspiring, energetic youth that I see here, because that's the youth that is conducting or wanting to conduct business. Each of you plays a vital role in this conversation. Your experiences and ideas, passion for ethical business practices are essential for the identifications of effective methods and addressing the challenges we face. Together, we can stand against corruption and bribes. And I want to underline that. Together, we can stand against corruption and bribes. And to encourage promoting a culture of honesty and integrity, fairness and respect, transparency, accountability, and responsibility throughout the breadth and width of Namibia. Directors of ceremony, Honorable Governor, ladies and gentlemen, as I conclude, as we start today's discussion, let's remember that really change is a process, not just a single act. It involves embedding ethical value into our corporate governance systems and ensuring that our business practices aligns with fairness and respect for our environment and resources. Ethical behavior goes beyond the boardroom. It affects every part of our community and influences future generations. I urge each of us to engage openly, share our insights and work together to find solution. That that prioritizes ethics in our business strategies. Let's foster cooperation aimed not just at fighting corruption, but at building a solid foundation for Namibia's prosperity and good ethical landscape. Together, we can protect our future and uphold the values that define who we are or what we want to become.
And with that, we pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, be expecting something beyond the borders.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and I will tell you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Now for today, $1 will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 50 cents, while €1 will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 51 cents. £1 sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 71 cents, and $1 Australian will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 39 cents. £1 Botswana pula equals to $1 Namibian and 31 cents, and £1 Kenyan shilling is equal to 0.14 Namibian dollars. Now moving over to trading economics. Iceland's producer prices fell by 0.6% year-on-year in July 2025, easing from a 1.5% decline in the previous month. Now, this was mainly driven by a slower decline in the metal industry and exported products, excluding marine products. At the same time, costs drew for food production and products sold domestically. Meanwhile, prices rose at a softer pace for marine products, while costs for other manufacturing industries remained unchanged at -4.7%. Now, on a monthly basis, producer prices grew by 0.1% in July, reversing a 0.6% drop in the preceding period. Tourist arrivals in Slovenia rose 2.5% year-on-year to 1.05 million in July 2025, following a 17.2% surge in June. The number of overnight stays increased 3.9% to 2.99 million, marking the most visited July on record. Foreign tourists accounted for 82% of overnight stays, totaling 915,000 arrivals and 2.46 million nights, mainly from Germany, the Netherlands, and Cisjordania. Domestic arrivals fell to 136,738. Retail sales in Poland rose by 4.8% year-on-year in July 2025 from 2.2% in the previous month and exceeding market expectations of a 3.5% rise. Now sales grew for pharmaceuticals, cosmetics and orthopedic equipment, textile clothing and footwear, furniture, radio, TV and household appliances, and newspaper, books and other sales in specialized stores. Additionally, sales for food, beverages and tobacco rebounded from 4.7% minus 0.5%. In contrast, sales growth slowed for motor vehicles and motor parts at 4.5% versus 7.7%, while solid liquid and gaseous fuels declined at minus 4.9% versus 5.7%. Now, on a monthly basis, retail activity grew by 4.4% in July, reversing a 1.8% fall in the preceding period. Germany's Ifo Business Climate Index rose to 89 in August from 88.6 in July, the highest level since May 2024, and above forecasts of 88.6. Companies' expectations for the coming months improved at 91.6% versus 90.7, while assessments of the current situation declined slightly from 86.4 versus 86.5, reflecting a still weak economic recovery. In manufacturing, sentiment fell marginally at -12.2% versus -11.9, with firm less satisfied with current conditions and no growth in orders through capital goods, manufacturers showed notable optimism. Now let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we'll be telling you, bringing you the news beyond the borders.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as the contact. The Villager, wherever you are. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Well, come back now. Brace yourself for news beyond the borders. So we're starting off in South Africa, where African Critical Minerals Summit has kicked off in 4 weeks.
The African Critical Minerals Summit begins its two-day event, and this happens in 4 ways in Johannesburg. The summit aims to drive initiatives that ensure the beneficiation of Africa's rich mineral resources within the continent, benefiting local economies and as well as local entrepreneurs. SABC News reporter Katleho Lekgodi is in 4 ways for us and joins us this hour. So Katleho, talk to us about how the summit planning to fine-tune some of those initiatives to benefit some of the local communities.
A very good morning, Tim Polisi, and to our viewers at home. We see various of those delegates from the continent coming into South Africa, Johannesburg today, to form part of these high-level talks as they talk about ensuring that we get the best out of these critical minerals on the continent. So here we have various of those that are looking at ensuring that Africa positions itself to get the best out of these minerals, but also take stock in terms of ensuring that there's beneficiation, there's localization, and ensuring as well that these emerging economies where these minerals exist more or less ensure that they come through for them. So you find us today marking the third installment of this session here, having various of those role players, even from government, to talk about policy and just ensure that at least there is a move in getting the best out of those critical minerals. Here we're talking about lithium, we're talking about manganese and policy, we're talking about rare earth minerals that we are told that as a continent we are endowed with. So how do we ensure that we get the best out of them for these emerging economies? I'm going to bring Tsego into the conversation. She's coming through as an organizer here. Tsego Motsuenyane will just give us a sense of the importance of marking the third installment of these African critical minerals. And we're seeing that the group is getting even bigger. I was here last year, and we're seeing as well that this year we've even ramped it up, even inviting members of parliament to come form part of this occasion here today. Welcome to the SABC, Tsego. Just give us a sense of what we can expect going into the coming 2 days.
Thank you, Katleho. Greetings to our viewers at home. The third installment of the African Critical Minerals Summit is for me a very high-level discussion. We have got here members from the African Mineral Strategy Group. We have got departmental representation. We've got representation from the Minerals Council of South Africa. We have got esteemed delegates such as Dr. Thibedi Ramonja. We have got Dr. Matthews Poza in our midst. As you said, the group is getting, it is getting bigger. We continue to grow. This year's summit is convened under the theme, The True Value of Africa's Africa's Mineral Wealth. And here we further conversations around the differences between strategic and critical minerals and how they can help the continent. Here we're talking local beneficiation. We're talking intercontinental trade. We are talking industry, infrastructure development. We're talking social.
Let's pause here now and make room for a scheduled commercial break.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. 10 kilogram each of Sugar King white sugar, Top Score Super Maize meal, and the Buck Pro Fed Cook flour. Also 5 kilos Rice King, as well as 500 grams Pasta King pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save. I save. Yes, we all save at USAID.
Show economic adjustments, you know. We're talking about We're talking about sustainable wealth and wealth creation, and we're talking about dignified employment, because that remains a paramount importance to us.
How do we ensure, Tsego, that we don't just talk, but that there's greater value in most of these leaders coming together here? Do we see this event coming through with a strategy, somewhat of a framework that can help at least for us to get the best out of these minerals? What can we expect where these talks are concerned?
I must say, I was very impressed earlier on in the year when the minister mentioned, I think it was on the 20th of May in Parliament, that it was at the 2023 summit where they reached a resolution to come up with the recently passed Critical Minerals Bill of South Africa. So this is not just a talk shop. I think in the 3 years that we have been in action, we have at least put out a bill, and we have got policymakers, and we've got government officials, as you said, you know. So these conversations do not just end in this hall. They actually make it out onto paper, and they make it out into policies.
The rare earth minerals and some of these critical minerals, they become very important looking at some of the issues around digitization. But how do we ensure that we get the best out of making sure that they help industrialize Africa, South Africa as a whole? Are we starting to get the best out of some of these minerals? We're talking, but are we starting to see the greater value, especially looking at the geopolitics that are also playing themselves out?
Yes, we are starting to get greater value. There is inter-Africa continental trade that is happening of minerals. I do know that there are a few refineries being set up across Africa to ensure local beneficiation of these minerals. There has been a a shift across the continent in terms of mineral policies. I know Tanzania has just recently had a shift. Burkina Faso has had a shift, to name a few. South Africa's in the process of a shift. And there's been new policies. I mean, Namibia has just come up with new policies regarding the trade of critical minerals. And, you know, in terms of geopolitics, you know, critical minerals have got the opportunity to actually increase, to put us higher up into, as not as a third world continent, but as a first world continent, and to assert our rightful position in terms of our mineral endowment.
Eskom marks 100 consecutive days without load shedding.
Power utility Eskom says it has now reached a milestone of 100 consecutive days without any load shedding, and it has attributed this to its generation recovery plan that was introduced in March last year and the hard work of its teams, of course, in stabilizing the grid. And so far this financial year, Eskom has lodged just 26 hours of load shedding and 144 days of reliable power supply. Spokesperson Daphne Mokwena says this is a significant breakthrough, building on the 2024 progress when South Africans enjoyed 352 load shedding free days.
Eskom has achieved another major operational milestone, 100 consecutive days without load shedding. This accomplishment builds on the momentum of 2024 when we delivered 352 load shedding free days and marks a significant improvement from the 36 days recorded in financial year 2024, our lowest performance in recent years. This progress stems from the Generation Recovery Plan implemented in March 2023 and driven by the unwavering dedication of our teams working to stabilize and strengthen the national grid. In the current financial year, Eskom has recorded just 26 hours of load shedding and delivered 144 days of reliable electricity to date. The resilience of our generation fleet continues to improve, with unplanned losses due to breakdowns now at 6,035 megawatts, well below the 7,000 megawatts threshold. The last time Eskom recorded unplanned losses below this level was on 27th of September 2020, when the figure stood at 6,829 megawatts. These operational gains are not just milestones, they are stepping stones towards larger goals, ending load shedding for good. Eskom remains fully committed to supporting South Africa's electricity reform agenda and accelerating the transition to a competitive, sustainable energy future. Our focus is not only on maintaining operational excellence, but also on enabling the structural reforms that will shape the future of the energy industry for the benefit of all South Africans.
Now we cross borders to Zambia and Akum's Inc. historic deal to boost local drug manufacturing.
On 4th August 2021, the United Party for National Development, UPND, administration assumed office amid high expectations. This was after taking over an economy grappling with deep economic distress of unsustainable debt and soaring inflation, which then stood at 24%. One of the UPND's immediate priorities was to restore both local and international confidence in Zambia's economy. To deliver on this promise, the administration undertook an ambitious reform agenda focusing on fiscal discipline, sustainable development, and a bold economic recovery plan. Key among the measures was the restructuring of the country's external debt, amounting to over $6.3 billion, and securing Zambia's historic $1.3 billion bailout from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, a lifeline that signaled international trust in the government's reform agenda. And now, the signs of macroeconomic stability are evident. Inflation has dropped significantly from 24% in 2021 to around 13% currently, while the Zambian kwacha has gained against major global currencies. These gains have come despite several significant setbacks, including the COVID-19, a severe cholera outbreak, and the worst drought in years, which has contributed to the country's energy crisis. Nevertheless, Zambia's economy has remained resilient, a fact noted by global institutions such as the IMF and the World Bank, who have commended the country's progress on multiple occasions.
Zambian economy was able to grow last year at a level beyond what anyone thought possible with the drought that Zambia experienced.
I want to highlight that the overall resilience of the economy is also based on the governments of Zambia commendable fiscal and macro discipline, even among the increasing demand needs caused by the drought.
But the critical question remains, what do these economic improvements mean for the Zambian people and the broader economy 4 years later? The Economics Association of Zambia acknowledges the UPND's performance amid a challenging environment.
Zambia is expected to outperform regional peers in the year 2026, supported by mining, fiscal reforms, and energy diversification.
Economist Kelvin Chisenga adds that through a combination of policy reforms and fiscal measures, Zambia is on track to achieve over 6% GDP growth in 2025, potentially making it the fastest growing economy in Africa.
What we are also seeing that Zambia is now fostering that attractive investment pattern, which also, in any case, our trading patterns with the regional bloc like COMESA, SADC, I think we are showing some shining example.
The manufacturing sector has also weighed in, highlighting the UPND government's efforts to rejuvenate industrial activity as part of its broader economic recovery strategy.
We saw our contribution to GDP climb to 9.3%, which is the highest it has been in the last 20 years. So this showed a lot of resilience from the manufacturing sector, especially in spite of the drought and power shortages.
Meanwhile, the Center for Trade Policy and Development, CTPD, observes that some economic gains are starting to trickle down in communities, largely through expanded social programs and targeted public investments.
The increased allocation in CDF has resulted in creation or construction of additional schools, construction of additional clinics and healthcare facilities, making access to these services much easier.
According to the experts, Zambia's four-year economic journey under the UPND government can be summed up in three words: resilience, recovery, reform. Ruth Chainda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Rising costs hurt industry in Kenya. Manufacturers demand government tax reforms.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with News Desk. My name is Kelly Boss. I'm here for Business at One. Now, let's start in the manufacturing sector, where players in Kenya's manufacturing sector are urging the government to review the taxes imposed on goods and services, citing unstable production costs that threaten the industry's competitiveness. Now, speaking at V Wire Manufacturing Industry in Nairobi, the manufacturers warn that high taxation is making it increasingly difficult to compete with cheaper imports. The call comes in the wake of Finance Bill 2025, which proposed sweeping changes to VAT and excise duties, including the reclassification of key manufacturing inputs from zero-rated to exempt, a move that blocks VAT recovery and drives up costs.
Government is not giving us full support, especially due to the high rate of taxation in the country. So in one way or another, the product has to go higher, and the common mwananchi is not able to reach out. So we urge the government to reduce taxation so that we can also be able to go further.
We have acquired potential machinery, so at least we make a good rolls, we good polythene products, and we supply to the markets and we supply the demands also. We are unable to sell the product with a high price, reasonable price. Because of the taxes, prices has gone up. We are unable to sell the product in a good quantities.
Farmers express a collective need to preserve indigenous seed.
you plant, the next season, the germination rate is very low.
In communities facing unpredictable weather and rising costs, farmers are returning to ancestral agricultural practices they believe are better suited for local weather conditions and sustainable food security.
There was nobody who was bringing the knowledge of indigenous what? Seeds. As per now, we are lucky enough that we have the knowledge. Our seeds, we plant first season and second season. As per now, the seeds which are existing, some of them, most of them are adulterated. When you bring them, you plant, the next season, the germination rate is very low. Whereas ours, when we plant, you can see the germination rate is just very normal. They are of a high yielding, they are drought tolerant, they are pest and disease resistant. They are short maturity seeds, the ones we are having as farmers.
At a farmer-managed seed system caravan organized by Oxfam at Akelo Hotel in Soroti, farmers emphasized that local seeds, shaped by centuries of ecological niches, naturally resist pests, diseases, and drought without costly chemicals.
Much as we call it informal, but this is a system that existed years back, and it used to help so much. We had no issues of food insecurity, difficulty to access seed, but because of a few changes that came, of course, because of issues of modernization and some other challenges of climate change and so on, and this seed got extinct.
Lawrence Kanakulia, the program officer at the Participatory Ecological Land Use Management Association, supports this initiative, saying farmers are custodians of biodiversity whose knowledge must be respected.
We need to unlock the full potential of the farmer-managed seed systems. It is a system that is controlled by the farmers themselves. Because of its sustainability, they select, they plant, they save, and they preserve. We are losing a lot of seeds. We need to support and prioritize the farmer-led breeding, selection and multiplication.
This debate intensifies nationally and internationally, especially in developing countries. While governments and some NGOs promote improved seed varieties to combat food insecurity, groups like Oxfam advocate for agroecological approaches that prioritize local knowledge, resources, and biodiversity.
We encourage farmers to use indigenous seeds varieties, of course, highlighting the importance that are attributed to these seed varieties. There is need to scale up these projects. So that's why we called upon donors, government supporters, to make sure that even other districts where such projects have not reached are able to reach, and farmers get to know about such approaches.
Despite efforts to revive local seeds, farmers face pressure to adopt hybrids promoted by government bodies like the National Agricultural Research Organization, which maintains that hybrids boost yields and productivity.
Well, you know, nowadays we have issues to do with the climate change. So if we do not have the diversity in our genetics, then you realize that our crops, our plants that we plant will always be succumbing to a number of calamities, say pests and diseases, and then things to do with drought. Apparently, yes, there is some research that is going on GMOs. For us as research, we are waiting up to that time, probably when Parliament passes out a policy that upholds the use of GMOs in the country. But as we speak right now, we don't have GMOs in use and in Uganda.
As support for local seeds grows, many Ugandan farmers envision a bright future in balancing local and hybrid seeds, a quick adaptation to today's challenges while honoring their heritage. The farmers are urging the central government, research institutions, and partners to invest in community seed banks, protect farmers' rights to save and exchange seeds, and integrate traditional knowledge into agricultural services.
High food prices push Congolese toward processed imports.
Democratic Republic of Congo is Africa's second largest country, with vast expanses of rich farmland and fertile soil. But decades of conflict and other problems have held back its agricultural potential, leading to high prices for locally produced foods. To keep up with demand for affordable food, the authorities have instead turned to imports. But as Chris Ochambringa tells us from Kinshasa, very often these foods are processed and therefore unhealthy.
This bustling marketplace in downtown Kinshasa has an assortment of food and drinks sold at affordable prices. Joel Zello is a businessman who always comes here to buy sardines and canned beef.
Most of us Congolese buy these products because they are cheap. If you walk around here, you will notice that the traders who have put their products on sale are selling more than their counterparts. We don't even care about the expiry dates. All we are interested in is getting cheap products. The rest will take care of itself.
Congolese traditional diets are rich in whole grains, vegetables, and other foods that are high in nutrients. But many people cannot afford them. Imported canned goods help those who are struggling with poverty. Mado Kote, a food trader, says most of what she sells comes from abroad.
The processed food that we get from other countries is cheaper than the food we grow locally, and that's the problem. We need help. Life is very tough here.
The problem is compounded by poor infrastructure. Few roads link Kinshasa to the countryside, and armed conflicts in the east, the country's food basket, keep supplies from reaching the capital.
Most of the processed food sold here is imported from Europe and other neighboring African countries. With so few factories of its own, the DRC struggles to meet the needs of its vast population. That dependence has left the country exposed to global price fluctuations.
According to the DRC government, the country spends $3 billion on food imports annually. But experts warn the growing reliance on imported processed food could pose a public health risk.
When processing food, there are rules that have to be followed, which some industries do not respect. And that's the reason why processed food becomes harmful for human consumption. There are standards about the quality of the additives that should be included in the products. Some factories that seek to produce a lot exceed that standard and cause public health problems.
To address the crisis in 2022, the DRC government launched the ATA DRC project to transform the country's agriculture sector and boost local food production. Farmers are now receiving improved seed varieties of cassava, maize, rice, and soybeans to increase yields and lower food prices. But an ongoing armed conflict in the east and parts of the west has hindered the project's reach, leaving many farmers without support. And so, for many ordinary Congolese living in cities, imported canned food remains the cheapest and sometimes only option. Chris Ochamringa, CGTN, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo.
Media Fellowship seeks enhanced reporting between Ghana and China.
You don't want to improve.
A learning curve to better understand China. 15 Ghanaian journalists from local radio and television stations, as well as those from new media and print, are sharpening their skills to report effectively on Ghana-China relations.
It's been a great learning experience for me, and I've been able to learn a lot when it comes to the Chinese culture, about Chinese geopolitics and Chinese economy.
The media fellowship was organized by the Africa-China Center for Policy and Advisory. It offers participants a mix of lectures on China's modernization journey and discussions on Africa's evolving and expanding partnership with Beijing.
Wherever there is a better understanding, it enhances cooperation. It enhances relationships. So where the Africans, and by reference to Africans, we mean Ghanaians and Chinese, better understand themselves, reportage is not focused on sensational stories or headline stories. It encourages a better coexistence.
China is Ghana's largest trading partner. The two countries have enjoyed strong bilateral relations for more than 60 years.
China is cementing its place as a key partner on the African continent,
Organizers of the Media Fellowship believe it is crucial to empower journalists to provide context-driven, accurate, and nuanced reporting to help citizens better understand the opportunities and challenges in Ghana-China relations.
The journalists are also learning Chinese language, Mandarin, as part of the fellowship.
I see language not to be a form of barrier. So when I go out on the field to report and I meet a Chinese, I'm confident that I can speak at least something to introduce. I can say ni hao ni jiao shima menzi. And then he gets confident that, oh, I've met somebody who understands my language.
For these journalists, the fellowship is not just about learning more about China or the Chinese language. It is also about improving their storytelling so as to better relay the Ghana-China conversation. Nabil Ahmed Rufai, CGTN, Accra, Ghana.
Cities of Colombo burst with colors as International Kite Festival soars once more.
A multitude of kites in various shapes and sizes, including elephants, leopards, pandas, birds, and snakes, filled the skies as the Colombo International Kite Festival commenced in Sri Lanka's capital on Sunday. Other kites showcased sunflowers, horses, fish, and a range of comic characters, including Pinocchio.
Sri Lanka for tourism was not that good if we take last couple of years due to different reasons, political instability, the economic crisis, and so on and so forth. But now I think Sri Lanka fully back to normal, so that tourists come and enjoy.
Enthusiasts from 25 countries, including Germany, the Netherlands, Malaysia, and France, joined some 500 kite flyers from Sri Lanka.
Every country has a different kite festival, and the land is different, the people are different. And we prefer to go this side. We like also this side from the country, from the world to visit it. And this is first the first time you're here. And our experience is Sri Lanka is very high in the level now in the kite world. So we do our very best here. And we're looking around, a lot of kite flyers also talking about it. And a very good job.
The event was organized by the Sri Lanka Tourism Promotion Bureau as part of destination branding for Sri Lanka's capital, Colombo.
Normally we have a big family and different members come to different festivals. This time we've got 55 members come from 25 different countries, but also to show our culture to sort of to Sri Lankan people, and then hopefully they will. What's good about kiting, it's outdoor activities. Most people now stay inside and play with the computers, but they need to be outside and just enjoy and harness a beautiful resource, which is wind, to decorate the sky.
A number of top stunt kite artists captivated audiences with their precise aerobatic displays. The festival began in 2015 and had events until 2018 continuously, but this is the first event since then.
The U.S. confirms first human case of travel-associated screwworm.
The U.S. has confirmed the first human case in the United States of travel-associated New World screwworm. It involved a patient who returned from travel to El Salvador, according to U.S. Department of Health and Human Services spokesman Andrew G. Nixon in an email to Reuters. Earlier, Reuters had reported that beef industry sources said last week that a case of New World screwworm had been confirmed in a person in Maryland who had traveled from Guatemala. Nixon did not address the discrepancy on the source of the human case. The parasite eats cattle and other warm-blooded animals alive, and an outbreak has escalated and moved northward from Central America and southern Mexico since late last year. South Dakota's state veterinarian told Reuters on Sunday she was notified of the case within the last week, but complained that officials at the CDC weren't forthcoming at all about the information. Screwworms are parasitic flies whose females lay eggs in wounds on any warm-blooded animal. Once the eggs hatch, hundreds of screwworm larvae use their sharp mouths to burrow through living flesh, eventually killing their host if left untreated. They rarely infect humans, and treatment is onerous, involving removing hundreds of larvae and thoroughly disinfecting wounds. Screwworms were eradicated from the United States in the 1960s when researchers began releasing sterilized male screwworm flies that mate with wild female screwworms to produce infertile eggs. The USDA has estimated a screwworm outbreak could cost the economy in Texas, the biggest U.S. cattle-producing state, about $1.8 billion in livestock deaths, labor costs, and medication expenses. The U.S. typically imports over 1 million cattle from Mexico a year to fatten in feedlots and process into beef. The Maryland case and lack of transparency around it could also present a political challenge for U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, who pledged repeatedly to keep screwworm out of the country. Authorities have set traps and sent mounted officers along the border, but it has faced criticism from some cattle producers and market analysts for not acting sooner and pursuing increased fly production. For now, the sole operating plant producing sterile screwworms is in Panama City. New facilities in Texas that Rollins announced in June would need 2 to 3 years to come online.
North Korea opens up a beach resort in a bid to boost tourism.
North Korea, a country largely closed off to the rest of the world, has welcomed its first tourists at a new holiday resort in an exclusive area on the east coast. The Wonsan Kalma Coastal Tourist Zone opened on the 1st of July and is where the country's leader Kim Jong-un spent much of his youth. BBC News Russian reporter Yaroslava Kirikina managed to speak to one of those tourists who visited the highly restricted site. She's been telling us what they've been saying.
Russian tourists who first visited it are really excited. They seem to have enjoyed the holiday despite all numerous restrictions they have experienced and some issues with the tour itself. They were the lady I spoke to was in the first group, and it happened so that it coincided with a visit to the resort by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, and their arrival to Wonsan Kalma was delayed by a day, but then they got there and they were being impressed with, as they described, flawless beach, and a host trying to accommodate almost every whim they had.
So, very high quality resort. Why is North Korea opening this resort when it is so restrictive on who it allows in?
According to experts in North Korean affairs, Andrei Lankov, I've spoken to, the thing is that they desperately want some money, some actually valid currency like dollars, euros, even rubles. And obviously, they used to be quite popular among Chinese tourists before the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. Up to 200,000 people came to North Korea as tourists, and now it just... there's just a fraction of it. Russian tourists who are now coming to North Korea, and there are roughly 300 to 500 bookings per month. They still cannot replenish, obviously, the previous tourist flow. So North Korea desperately needs some cash. And the tour itself to Wonsan Kalma is paid partly in dollars.
Is it surprising, given, as you say, how desperately the country needs money and resources, the quality of the offering there, and also things like food? How are they managing to offer high quality accommodation, food, all of those things that go into making a world-class resort?
Yeah, there are various speculations of where the region to build this resort come from, because North Korea used to have several resorts, including Rason, which is quite popular among, popular among British tourists because they went there this winter. But now they want to lure more Chinese. They are primarily after Chinese tourists in the first place, as Andrei Lankov believes. But due to some rough relations with China at the moment, only Russians are permitted. It's kind of by allowing them, North Korea is trying to show to the world that we have a powerful ally and so on. But And there are speculations that either there was kind of an Asian resort they wanted to kind of reproduce, or Benidorm, which I believe is quite popular among kind of British tourists.
And with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program with Loisa Shimi.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha would take a kabuna, e matina, omjo. Chicago Shafata Nana, longishifa, ya, she became Oshiwana. E moyao, or tango got it some money. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, on Bitom Banawa, or Chica. The Ethanina, Omakuro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Go to end the team, Meha, O Kakombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yo mo programa detu. Mo ambo dengira selma konara heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app.